Welcome to Crosswords, the podcast about practical Christianity. What does it look like to walk in Jesus' footsteps? How do I live in a culture hostile to godliness? These are questions that we will answer as we get our minds and heart on Jesus.
Good afternoon, family. It's good to see all of you here on this first day of the week. Well, today we're going to dive into 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. So you might want to open your Bible to that passage because we're going to read all those verses together. We're not going to go verse by verse in today's message. We're only going to touch on some things. And we're going to speak about the depths of affliction. Here the Apostle Paul speaks and pours out his heart concerning things that he learned through affliction. And you might be thinking, why do we have to talk about affliction today? But bear with me, because sometimes it is in the muck, in the mud, that we find unexpected treasure. And there's always good news in that. Let's start reading 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 10. It says, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will also share in the comfort. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and He will deliver us. We have put our hope in Him that He will deliver us again while you join in helping us by your prayers." So let's take a look. I have 4 points to share with you that I believe the Holy Spirit is sharing with us on how we get unstuck from the muck that sometimes we find ourselves in. So let's take a look at verses 3 and 4, where he is thanking God. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. He calls God the Father of mercies, and he calls him the God of all comfort. That's an important definition that he begins this whole theme here with. He says, he comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So he's talking about a purpose. He's giving a purpose through the affliction that we all share in life at one point in time or another. But before we get to that, before we dive a little deeper, I want you to understand the etymology of this word comfort. It comes from the Greek paraklesis, a word that I'm sure you've heard before. It's a word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, right? And so what does that mean? It means to call to one side. It means something that is shared together. And it can denote a wide range of actions, such as to exhort, to encourage, to comfort. And it really reflects a form of closeness. It reflects a personal involvement, kind of like the intense fellowship that some of us have experienced in sessions where we are being rebuked, or we are doing the rebuking, and we're doing it, giving it, and receiving it in humility. But in order for us to grow in empathy, which is the reason why Paul is sharing these things, we need to know what it's like to go through stuff we may not like. This is the primary purpose of afflictions that he's going to bring out here in this passage. Without the afflictions, we're not going to know the comfort. You can't have one without the other. If you want to experience the comfort of God, you have to be willing not just to go through the afflictions, but to receive what the afflictions are teaching you in humility, not to reject them. Without the intense fellowships that I participated in, I would never have known how much my brothers love me for the way they tried to wash my feet in those instances. They got down and dirty with me into the trenches and showed me the love, and at the same time provided me comfort when it was needed. And I wouldn't know how to provide that encouragement to others without going through the stuff myself. Notice the paradox presented in this passage. Without affliction, there is no comfort. Do you want comfort? Do you want to experience the comfort of the Lord? Then you need to welcome in your life affliction. And it's not like you have to wait long for it either. It's going to come at some point in time. But when it comes, what are you going to do? When your feet get dirty, what are you going to do? Are you going to reject that? Are you going to try to get out of it on your own? Or is there a lesson for us to really need? And oftentimes, the lesson is a personal one. Yes, but remember, in Christ, we're a family. We're a body. Nothing is just for me. What I'm learning here, as Paul explained in the passage, is for me to be able to comfort others as well. It's not just a selfish thing. Paul calls God the Father of compassion. If we want to learn how to be compassionate people, we have to appeal to the Father of compassion. And at the same time, he calls him the God of all comfort. All the comfort comes from God. If I want to know how to be comforted and how to comfort someone else, I'm going to have to welcome trouble, but welcome it with the perspective of God in my life. Because without him, there is no comfort. Without him, there is just affliction. And without God to give you perspective, you're going to become embittered in this affliction. And you're not going to be too useful to anybody, not just for yourself. At that point, we say you're going to be stuck in the muck. And you're not going to know why you're there or even how to get out of it. Now, our flesh does long for comfort, especially when we are going through affliction. And it is very well received when we acknowledge that we are in trouble. If I don't acknowledge that I'm in trouble and I'm like, no, I'm okay, I'm fine. I'm going to dig myself out of this muck. I don't need your help. Then maybe God is going to assign you some more time in the muck. Until you realize that, you know, you are in trouble here. You're going to have to ask somebody for help. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to realize your limit. Or else, you know what's happened? Sometimes we dig ourselves deeper. When we think we're trying to get out of it, we're actually digging ourselves deeper in the muck. Affliction is like, it's like walking in muddy shoes. It's not comfortable. You ever walked in muddy shoes? You know, it's very uncomfortable feeling to, you know, put your shoes on. That's why when I go to the beach, I like struggle. Should I wear sandals? Should I wear flip-flops? I don't want to wear sneakers, because you might wear great sneakers, but once the sand gets in there, then it's a problem. But affliction is like walking in muddy shoes. It's uncomfortable. It's messy. You're not going to win any fashion contest. But this walk equips us with something very important that's being presented in this passage. And that is empathy. It's very important to God that we learn how to empathize, not just sympathize. Sympathize is superficial. Empathy carries that meaning of comfort, that paraclete, that walk by one's side, that the Holy Spirit is even called, he's even nicknamed that. And that's something important for us to do. When we experience our own struggles, we're better prepared to extend that comfort, and we're better prepared to remember how God helped us in our struggle and how he provided us comfort. When Jesus instructed us in John 13, 14 to wash one another's feet, this is related to this word picture that Paul is presented here, because affliction is what helps us prepare for the times when we have to wash each other's feet, when we have to get uncomfortably close to someone, and we know that that person is not comfortable with us getting uncomfortably close, but we have to provide some encouragement because we love them. And it is in those intense fellowships that we can help each other get unstuck from the muck. But who wants to wash dirty feet? I mean, that requires a lot of love, right? And we're not just, of course, this is just a little word picture. We're talking about situations in someone's life that we know you're not going to feel comfortable with me talking to you about these things. I don't feel comfortable either. But we get beyond our uncomfortability. Why? Because there's this love, there's this comfort that we have received from God. And like Paul describes it, it overflows. It's like that when we talked about generosity, remember, we pack it in tight, it's running over, and the comfort of God overflows from our lives. And somebody who has experienced that comfort from God will let that comfort overflow into the lives of others. That's how you know that person can empathize, because that's what they seek to do. It's not like, oh, I feel for you. That's sympathy. I feel for you, and I'm kind of distant over here. You're over there. I feel for you, but I'm not going to get any closer. Empathy is, I feel with you. I know what you're going through. I've been there. And this creates a deeper emotional connection. That's what the Bible calls how we are together in the Spirit, bonded together in the Spirit. Those are the bonds of the Spirit. And that affliction that we go through, sometimes by ourselves, but sometimes together, is what creates that sense of family. And that's what God wants to build in us, so that that comfort that He provides, the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies, can overflow from one to the other and to the other. And I want the young people among us to understand that there is great treasure for you to discover in your older brothers and sisters. Because all the parents here in our midst, all the brothers that are older, they have been through stuff. And, you know, I'm not trying to pull an age card here. I'm just pulling an experience card, right? Somebody that's older than me is always going to be ahead of me in experiencing life. That's just the truth. Right? I can't see that as a negative thing. If anything, I should see it as a positive thing. Because in this congregation, I am richly rewarded with decades, perhaps even centuries of experience here collectively, that I don't have to live through stuff alone. I don't have to go through stuff and saying, well, you know, I don't know what to do in this case. You know, well, woe to me if I don't reach out and ask for advice through some of the things that I've gone through. Because some of you have lived life twice over what I have lived, three times over. And so I should discover the nuggets of treasure in your experience and take advantage of that comfort that God has provided you through that stuff, so that that comfort can overflow to me as well. I know it sounds a little selfish, but that's what it's about, how we share with one another. This is a good thing.
Have you ever wanted to read the Bible in plain English, a language that you can actually understand and follow? Well, there is a translation like that called God's Word Translation by God's Word to the Nations Mission Society. This is the only translation of the Bible in English that follows a dynamic equivalent translation philosophy. It makes the Bible very easy to understand, and it flows very naturally in the English language. You can follow along my podcast where I read to you from God's Word Translation for one whole year. You can search for the podcast on Spotify or your favorite podcast reader. Search for God's Word Translation by God's Word to the Nation Mission Society. You can also look it up under my name, Pedro Gelibert.
Point number two. Paul says here in verse 9, he says, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. You ever felt that way? You ever felt at some point in time in your life, man, this is it. You know, or I wish I were dead. One or the other, right? He says, we felt that we had received that sentence of death. So that we, this is the reason why, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Sometimes we feel stuck in the muck, and you might think, hey, I've got this. I don't need a tow truck. We can get out of this. But you try to get out and the mud gets deeper. And you might get deeper to the point where like, whoa, I'm done. I'm finished. I don't know how to get out of this one. And all of a sudden, you look up. And that affliction really is meant to humble us, to bring a little humility into our lives so that we may understand, you know what, I don't have it all figured out. I need some help here. God has put me in a family, whether it's my immediate family, whether it's the church family, and I need to see God in them rescuing me. It's not a sign of weakness to ask for a tow truck at a certain point in time. We are strong, actually, when we know our limits. And it's necessary, as Paul said here, so that we know to learn to rely on God, not on people, not on ourselves, certainly not. Not to drive ourselves further into the muck or get stuck, or for God forbid, help somebody else get stuck even further in their muck. That's even worse. But we have to acknowledge that sometimes we're stuck. We're in deep. And we might be ashamed, you know, there might be a little bit of embarrassment there, but that's okay. We're people, all right? And we need to learn to ask for help, no matter how it may seem. That's part of this program, to learn how to be humble and ask for help. Because these afflictions, the second purpose, right? The first one is empathy, to create empathy, to help us connect to each other through empathy. And the second purpose, as we see here, is to be appreciative of the comfort that God can provide, whether it's comfort through answered prayers, an inner peace that God gives you because you're relying on Him, or the comfort as you see Him coming to your rescue through your brothers and sisters, or even sometimes through total strangers. That's how God works in our lives. And He brings us these things through our afflictions. When you are not going through affliction, you cannot make these connections. You can only make them when you're going through that hard time that causes you to examine yourself deeply and to say, man, I don't know what I'm going through here. You know, I've had my share of rescues in my lifetime, but the one that really sticks in my head was how God rescued me through a friend one day on the beach. I used to love to go body surfing. I don't know if you know what that is, but in Puerto Rico, we used to do it with a boogie board. I don't know if they use that anymore. We used to, after school, go straight to the beach. After all, I did live in Puerto Rico. I had the best beaches over there, and it was just walking distance. So right after school, let's go to the beach. That's what we would do every day. And we would go to this place that is, it's a really nice front, but it has a really strong undertow. It still does to this day. And the undertow kind of meets at a point, and it's a point that has some rocks there that have been artificially placed. And it kind of creates a whirlpool in that corner. And we all knew about it. And as we surfed, slowly, of course, the undertow would bring us close to the whirlpool. And we would know when it was time. Okay, guys, let's get out, run, you know, 100 yards and start surfing again. Because, you know, it was like a typewriter. Okay? It was going to bring us back to this. Then we had to go again. And then it would bring us back, right? And so that was the thing. We all knew about that. And I thought, yeah, you know, I'm good. I got this down. And then one day, I just got too close to Point Whirlpool. I got too close and I quickly found myself stuck in the whirlpool. And I remember, you know, trying to go up. My boogie board was floating up there and I was trying to get up there, but the whirlpool was pulling me down. And not only was it pulling me down, but the undertow was pushing me towards the rocky point. So I was seeing the rocks getting closer to me, and I look up and look at the rocks, and I'm like, okay, it's over. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, because I'm trying. I don't have any more breath left in my lung to keep trying to go up. I can't go up. I can't take a breath. I can't fight not being crashed into these rocks. It's going to be a few seconds until my head is bashed into the rocks. So I was just saying, okay, I guess this is it. I don't know if you ever had a time like that when in your head you're like, well, It was good. But I guess it'll be over now. And then all of a sudden I feel some strong arms. I don't know how my friend did this. Maybe with the strength that God supplies. I feel some arms just whoosh, pulling me right out of the water. And I don't remember anything else after that except maybe 25 minutes later, just kind of waking up on the beach, trying to catch my breath, feeling completely out of breath, out of strength. But I knew who saved me that day. Even though I did not really believe in God at that time, I knew it was a confirmation to me that God was watching out for me. One of the many times, I have many other stories like that, but that's one of the ones that really stands out in my mind. It was not my time yet. Obviously, God may have had other things for me to experience. But I remember God. Every time I remember that occasion, I know that I have to rely on God, that I cannot rely on someone else. Even my friends, I know that what my friend did was because of God. It's not like I was relying on him, but God used him, as in times past, God has used other people to really get me out of the muck that I was stuck in. That's point number two. Let's look at point number three in 2 Corinthians 1, 6. This is about resilience. Paul says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. He's kind of echoing something similar to what James says in James chapter 1, right? That we should endure the afflictions and the trials because they're there to produce something in us. And Paul mentions it here too. Patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. Because brothers and sisters, we're all human beings. Even though we might sometimes think, oh, well, you don't know what I'm going through, you know. I said, well, you know, we kind of do, okay? Because we're all human beings and we tend to suffer the same things. Maybe I don't know or understand exactly, but it's not like you're an alien that's come from another planet, okay? We all have bodies. We all go through similar struggles. And that's the point Paul is making here. These similar struggles are to produce a patient endurance in us as we all struggle through different sufferings. Yeah, I may not get you 100%, but I don't need to get you 100%. And I know you don't need to get me 100% to be able to empathize and to be able to for us to comfort one another, because we're human beings. We're all really in the same boat. And here we see that kinship that these afflictions produce. Remember that comfort is paraklesis, a calling to one's side, which is really producing that feeling of kinship. Like, man, you know what? We're in this together, but we can do it together. Because not only do we have each other here in the family of God, but our Lord is leading ahead of us. He's the one from where all the mercies and the comforts are coming from through the Holy Spirit. Those are the ties that bind us together. And this affliction brings us closer together when we experience them as a community for the reasons that Christ suffered as well. You know, it can be in general, like the afflictions that we all share just for being human beings, or maybe certain unique afflictions that we have experienced that maybe not all of us have experienced yet, like the death of a loved one or a particular illness. But Paul is focusing here on the afflictions that we have as followers of Jesus Christ, because that's what binds us together. We're not just talking about an illness or I lost my job or some of the things that the world in general experiences, although that can be included in too. But what we share each other that the world doesn't have are unique afflictions, being people of Christ, being spiritual people like Lot. Remember Lot when he was in Sodom, and it says that his soul was in turmoil every day. Now, of course, the rest of the people who lived there, their soul wasn't in turmoil because they could have cared less what was going on. But Lot was called righteous because every day he lived and he saw things that troubled his soul. And don't we understand that as people of God, as we live in this world, that we see and experience experience things that are troubling to us, those are deeper afflictions. And those are the kind of afflictions I believe that Paul is talking about here. We can use our afflictions to empathize with strangers, of course, and to befriend those around us, to call them to a better relationship with God, to call them to a better perspective on why they're even going through stuff in their life, because they probably don't know. They probably can't put things together and understand, oh, I'm going with this so that I can see God. They haven't made those connections yet. Or maybe they are in the midst of doing that. But there you are. God has put you there in their lives so that the comfort that He has provided you can overflow to them, and He can use you to help them understand and give them perspective. As a church family, our fellowship certainly gets more and more intense as we share in the afflictions that come about because of our faith. Oftentimes, you know, it's hard to not give in to temptation. We all experience that affliction. We know what temptations are like. We refuse to give in to them. That causes affliction. Because those other, you know, everybody in the world, when they're tempted, they just give in. You know, maybe they don't have the strength, and that causes other problems, and we know about that. So we don't want to give in to certain temptations, and that is affliction. But that's a good affliction, as long as you don't give in, and as long as you know that God is there with you. Or afflictions come because we refuse to back down when we're being persecuted at our job or at our school for doing the right thing, and somebody insults us, or somebody threatens us to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, and you refuse to back down, knowing what could happen. That's affliction.
If you like this podcast, please show your support by clicking on the support link on my Anchor FM profile. This ensures I will continue producing authentic Christian content as the Lord allows me. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
That's affliction that some of you have lived, and that's intense, but that connects us to Jesus. That creates a very deep, intense fellowship with Christ and the Holy Spirit, because you know He went through those things as well. And that connects us together. Our resolve really is to let these afflictions, as Paul mentioned here, to produce patient endurance. That's the spiritual value. God is making us resilient in order to be more useful in the kingdom of God. There's a goal that He has for us here. We're not just here to, you know, go along our merry way and carry on and live like the rest of the world. No, there's a purpose here in this kingdom. Remember Project Gateway, right? There is a purpose for us. And I believe that because afflictions are a common banality to mankind, that's one of the ways God uses us to connect with our neighbors, to connect with others. We just have to know how. We just have to let that comfort from God overflow so that we have the love enough for our neighbors to connect with them through the afflictions that they go through. Paul indicated that whether he was distressed or comforted, it was for your comfort and for your salvation, he tells the Corinthian church. Because affliction is the process through which our spiritual boots are tested and strengthened. It's like a spiritual boot camp. That's what it was like for me at Stony Brook. You know, some of us here have the Stony Brook boot camp experience. Maybe for you it was at Old Westbury or some other college or at home or some other place. A place where you really built up the resilience of your spiritual boots so that you wouldn't get stuck in the muck. That preparation to live in the world as a disciple of Christ is super important for your spiritual strength and for your success. You might start out with some very flimsy flip-flops that are going to get stuck in the muck, and not just get stuck, but you might lose it right there in the mud. That has happened to me at times when I'm going to cross some kind of muddy valley and I'm suddenly walking and suddenly, oh no, my boot got stuck. And I can't get it out. I lost it. But that happens sometimes in life. And God gets you another pair of shoes. And this resilience is not just for us, as Paul talks about here, but it's really a testimony to others that with God, we can walk through anything. whatever affliction, even if it causes me to think that the sentence of death is upon me, it's teaching me not to trust myself, but to trust in God, to really believe that He can raise the dead. Because if I'm going to die, my comfort is, well, God's going to raise me up. Right? That's why Paul mentions that. To trust in God who raises the dead. Now, sometimes He rescues us and we kind of experience a resurrection like I did when I was stuck in the whirlpool. I was like, okay, this is it for me. But God said, no, you're not done. And He kind of raised me up, didn't He, from the dead? Because I was going to die for sure. But He raised me. He took me out. And He said, okay, you're going to live a little longer. But eventually there comes a time when it will be over for sure, right? We're not going to be immortal unless Jesus comes back before, you know, our time is up. Then we won't experience death. Oh, I hope I'm one of those few who gets to experience that. That would be pretty cool, because death is, you know, it's kind of a scary gate to go through, right? Is it going to be painful? What am I going to experience? You know, nobody looks happy when they're dying, you know? They look like, you know, something got them. I don't know if I want to go through that. Like a scary experience. But we have a God who raises the dead. So that's what can help us not just get through these afflictions, but learn the things that God wants us to learn from them. Point number 4 in 2 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and He will deliver us. Here's where we see Him now get confident, right? He says, we have put our hope in Him. No longer is the hope in me or in technology or whatever else man can offer. We know that fails. We have put our hope in Him that He will deliver us again while you join in helping us by our prayers. So Paul expresses his hope in God who has delivered him from deadly peril. And think about this. Every time that you have a deliverance, what he's saying here is, because He has delivered me before, I know He's going to continue to deliver me. Every time I go through something, I'm more confident of what I'm going to go through. I don't get less confident. I get more confident if I'm relying on God and His Spirit, because I know He can raise the dead, number one. And number two, He has saved me before. And if it's my time, that's okay, because I'm going to be raised from the dead anyway, right? And so that's where our confidence comes from. Paul reminds us that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I know sometimes it seems like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. You might be going through suffering. My wife and I were sick for 3 weeks. We got COVID, then we got the flu. We're like, okay, what else is going to come after this? No, some of you have had 3 things, like our brother Jamie here, and our sister Selena is going through some stuff too. And sometimes it's like, okay, when is it going to end? When am I going to get out of here? Am I going to be sick for the rest of my life? Sometimes it feels like that, right? Well, I was sick in bed, you know, like barely able to walk. I'm like, is this what it's going to feel when I'm 85? You know, all right, well, maybe I can deal with this when I'm 85 every day. I don't know. Maybe. And then we get healed, and then we feel like we're $1 million again. But now we know a little better. We know, like, our body is weak. You know, we can't rely on ourselves. We have to learn to rely on God. And God gives us a promise time and time again that He will rescue us. And even if He doesn't, because it is your time, guess what? He's going to rescue you anyway, because He's going to raise you from the dead. So we have such a great deal. Any muddy path that you choose to walk through, there is going to be a place when it is done and you're going to wash your boots and they're going to sparkle, and you're going to rest your feet up. It's going to happen. It has an end. And those of us who've been through some life, hopefully we've developed this assurance. Hopefully we can be some people that the younger folk can look up to and say, wow, you know, this guy's been through stuff, and he's not a bitter old man, you know, but he seems to be a jolly old man. You know, he seems to have his act together. And that's very attractive for some young people. Paul went through these afflictions, and as a Christian, he learned to look back and to remember that God had always been there, even maybe when he didn't think God was there. Because after I've been a Christian, I look back to those instances, like when I got stuck in that whirlpool and many other instances when I wasn't a believer. But now I recognize, yeah, I know who was saving me in those moments. I have no doubt at all. So we develop a confidence now through the next set of trials. So these are the four points that the Holy Spirit wants us to remember if we feel stuck in the muck. Remember, it's not a pointless struggle. Okay, there is a purpose to this, a multi-purpose in you going through these things. It's a journey of developing empathy, developing resilience and a reliance on God, and most of all, developing hope through your patient endurance. We have to pray that as we go through these things and others, brothers and sisters, are telling us that they're going through stuff and they're asking us to pray, let us pray for each other that we're learning this grace, that we're open to receiving this grace as we go through these things, and that we might find what God wants us to find in this, which is what? Comfort, right? Mercy, power, and hope. Every next trial that you go through will be that much better for your spiritual growth and your spiritual character. Before I became a Christian, I didn't see the point of these trials and afflictions. They used to really make me angry. I did not have a sober point of reference for these things at that time. I was relying on my own frame of reference, and certain things in my life didn't make sense. I was letting those trials and those afflictions shape me into a bitter and sarcastic person. They were making me hate people and hate interacting with people. I was blame shifting everything, blaming everyone else and everything else for the struggles that I went through. I was not a grateful person, but God saved me from myself. He saved me from myself. He saved me from that sin that trapped me, that had me stuck right there in that muck. I was digging a hole so deep, the hole of sin. No one can get you out of that hole. No one but Jesus. I didn't even know it though, that I was digging myself in it. Who knows it? If we don't acknowledge God, if we don't even acknowledge sin, then you don't know how far deep you are in. And that could be a scary thing. That's exactly where the devil wants you to be. I was sowing destruction. It was like I was stuck in that whirlpool, but it was the whirlpool of sin. But then Jesus enters the picture. He had been calling out to me, but I didn't want to listen. I thought I knew better. I thought I had the answers of life. But as a person, right, as a human being, as a sheep, I had to go through hard stuff to learn what Paul said he learned. That I couldn't rely on myself. I had to learn to rely on God. But first I had to learn to seek God in my life. And you know what? God is right there, and He's going to make sure it happens. The very reason why all these afflictions and trials happen in the lives of everybody, Acts 17:26, is because God wants people to seek Him. And He doesn't give up on you. That's amazing. And that's why many of us are here today, because He didn't give up. And eventually we got it. Some of us were a little dumber than others, right? Took a little more time for us to realize that we were stuck in the muck. But congratulations, you made it. You're here. And you're thanking God. And you're worshiping God. Now we got to go and help the other rest of these lost sheep also come and connect. There is light at the end of the tunnel, for sure. But we have to make sure that we are relying on God, understanding what He's there for, and believing Jesus. When we believe in Jesus and we trust Him enough to take this first step into baptism, then God empowers you to be able to make those changes. You learn that you need to die to self and to die to the world. Let the world be dead to you. And then live for Christ. And now you're living life on the outside of the tunnel, in the light. And God empowers you to be able to make those changes in your life. He does and will help you, Be born again. The old is gone. The new is here. And none of those old things, old habits, terrible things that you might have done in the past, they have no effect on you anymore. That's God's promise. Because you are a new creature. I invite you to come forward and lay your request before God with our elders here today. Pour out your heart, brothers, sisters, visitors, whatever may be holding you back, whatever affliction you think you're stuck in. Maybe you feel like, I haven't seen the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know how to get out of this. But God provides solutions. You just have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, because He will guide you out. Give your soul to Jesus today and turn the tables on evil by letting afflictions become the tool for your betterment, not Satan's tool for your embitterment. God bless you and have a good afternoon.